Please turn back to Romans chapter 8, and I'm going to focus on really the first phrase from verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Back home in Portsmouth, I've been preaching through the book of Romans. And my aim was to preach one message per chapter, just to give an overview of the book. And I found I'd set myself an impossible task, particularly when I got to Romans 8. It was just impossible to contain that principle to such an astounding chapter that we have in front of us. I'm sure we've all turned to this chapter and found solace and comfort for our souls. This chapter begins with no condemnation. It ends with no separation. And in the middle, there is no defeat. But I'm going to try and limit myself just to this first phrase that we find in Romans 8, verse 1. And it really is the gospel, the great and glorious news of the living, eternal God, summarized to us in these 13 or so words, precious, powerful words. Words that, if you understand them tonight, you understand the most important realities, not only in this world, but in the world to come. This is more profound news than anything that we've seen in the Olympics over the last 2 weeks. Even the 27 or 28 gold medals that Team GB have won, as I said this morning, yes, we appreciate the work of the athletes, but it's a fading glory. And in the light of eternity, in the light of heaven and hell, what we are looking at tonight is far more profound, far more important. There is nothing more important than understanding the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. I've got five things to say tonight. The first thing that I want to say is a word. It's the word consequence. If you look at our text, there is therefore now no condemnation. Now, I was always taught to look for these connecting words, how the theme of a passage is developed. And so I'm always going to ask the question, what is this therefore doing? What's it connecting to? What's it referring to? Well, there are two options: the immediate context or the wider context of what Paul has said up to this point. And I believe that he's looking at the wider context of all that he said up to this point. And he's saying, therefore, in the light of what I've said, this is the consequence. So what has Paul been saying up to this point? Well, he's taken time to strip away any self-confidence or self-righteousness that Jew or Gentile may have. He has told us that the Gentile world does not know God and does not seek after God, and the Jewish world does not seek God. He emphasizes his point in chapter 3, verse 10, for example. There is no one righteous, no, not one. 3:23, he says, a verse I'm sure we can quote, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. But then in the very next verse, he speaks about God's glorious provision. Yes, we've got nothing to boast in and of ourselves. We've got nothing that commends ourselves to God. But God has provided a way, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. God has provided a way for people like you and me to be forgiven. Then in chapter 4, he uses this great illustration of Abraham. How was Abraham made right with God? Was it of what he did, of what he achieved? Well, if he did do it that way, he has something to boast about. That's the argument of Romans 4. Verse 2, for example, for if Abraham was justified by works, he has something of which to boast, but not before God. So if it were possible, and it's not, but if it were possible to reach a certain standard, you had to attend church enough and read the Bible enough and pray enough, and if you made that standard, you would have something to boast in and of yourself. And Paul demolishes this argument. Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him as righteousness. And that faith of Abraham, it has great consequences. Romans 5 verse 1, for example. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So, faith brings us to God. And God, who has provided the way for us to be forgiven, proves and demonstrates his own love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Verse 9 of chapter 5 emphasizes the point of the work of the Lord Jesus Christ, much more than having now been justified by his blood, the sacrificial death of the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved from wrath through him. And then Paul, in the rest of Romans 5, makes this great point that humanity is divided into two sections. Either you are in Christ or you're in Adam. Adam represents all of humanity who have not personally trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ. Those who are in Christ have been made alive in Christ. We all died in Adam. As we trust in Christ, we are made alive because of that finished work. And so there are two groups of people in this church building. Either you are in Adam or you are in Christ. Where do you stand tonight? Is Christ Jesus your Saviour? You are Lord. Have you trusted in him? It is therefore because of the work of the Lord Jesus Christ, because of the gospel, it is because God has provided all that is necessary for people like us to be forgiven that Paul is able to point back to this work and say, therefore, look at the consequence. Look at what Christ has done. Embrace this work. Trust in this Saviour. Therefore, what a great statement that is. And my second word, it's the word certainty. There is, therefore, we've already looked at what therefore points back to, that set the context. But this word, there is tremendous certainty and assurance here. Friends, it is possible to be a believer tonight and to know it. It is possible to be assured that you are a child of God. It's possible to rejoice in the finished work of Jesus. As a believer, to say, I know my Saviour has loved me and gave himself for me. And in him I am complete. And in him I am rescued. And in him I am assured of heaven. And in him I'm blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. It's possible to know that you're a child of the King and to live as a child of the King. There is now no condemnation. Do you see the certainty here? Why is it so certain? Because of the great truths of the gospel. Because of the complete, finished work of Jesus Christ. It is finished. So we rest in our Saviour. And we live out the gospel because of the work of Christ. Is that true of you tonight? I picture a man living in the gutter. He begs every day so that he has enough to eat. He lives as if he's a poor man. He's a beggar. But in effect, in reality, he's a child of a king. And he's forgotten his status. And he's forgotten the riches of his father's house. He has a crisis in himself. He's living inconsistently to who he is. He has forgotten, as we saw this morning, that he's been adopted into the king's family. Is there anyone here who, yes, you may be a believer, and yet you wake up in the morning without enjoying God's presence? You don't allow the Lord to speak through his word. Your goals are for the here and now, for the world. You're forgetting the privileges and responsibilities of being a child of God. Well, if that is true of you, I trust it's not, but if it is, there are two options. Either you're not a child of the King, or that you are in a low spiritual condition. And in both cases, the answer is the same. There's a call for repentance and renewing and restoring as you come to the Lord in faith. These things should not be so. There is certainty and assurance that's connected with the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we recognize that from time to time, assurance can ebb and flow. And we mustn't be guided by our feelings. We acknowledge these things. And yet, we are dealing with highly emotional issues. The gospel should move us and affect us as we sang this morning, My Jesus, I love thee, I know thou art mine. For thee all the pleasures of sin I resign. As we are loved by the Saviour, we love him in return. And there is something wrong with us if we don't do that. So we are called to live as royal children and to rejoice in the privileges of being a child of the King. And that means, yes, if you are a believer, walking worthy of the gospel. It means pleasing God. Saying no to sin and yes to Christlikeness. Therefore, there is now no condemnation. May the Lord help us to see the wonder of the gospel tonight. Of being a child of the King. Is there any greater privilege than that? I have a concern that some who name the name of Christ actually show no evidence of being a child of God. And the Bible wants us to know tonight that a mere profession of faith, a mere claim to royalty, is meaningless unless there is the transformed life. And for the person who has not yet believed or trusted tonight, there is certainty for you tonight. There is a promise of peace with God. A guilty conscience can be cleansed. Sins can be dealt with. I love the certainty of the Saviour's work, don't you? There was no doubt whatsoever that the lame man could walk, or the blind men could see. There was no doubt at all in the disciples' minds that the storm was stilled with one word. There is the glorious provision in the Lord Jesus Christ. There is certainty. There is assurance as you embrace Him, as you trust in Him. You can know tonight what it is to be redeemed, to be saved, to be rescued, to be ransomed, to be a child of the King. So there's the consequence. Because of the work of Christ, there is no condemnation. Because of the work of Christ, there is certainty, no condemnation. The third word to remember tonight is the word current. There is therefore now no condemnation. We all know what it is to have current affairs. It's the type of news program that's up to date. It's relevant. It's current for that particular time. Friends, do you see the power of this word tonight? Now. Does it not thrill our hearts that on the 12th of August 2012, here tonight, it is possible through the work of the Lord Jesus Christ and Him alone to have a right standing with God now, this evening? No condemnation. This is so wonderful, so glorious. It's beyond words, isn't it? Even though you and I have sinned today, the Bible says if you've believed and trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ, now there's no condemnation for you in Christ. You may have misused your tongue. You may have said that unkind word. You may have gossiped or harshly criticized. And if you are a believer tonight, Satan accuses. He's the accuser of the brethren. But God in Christ, through His word, says, no condemnation now. You may have driven here with the most ungodly thoughts entering your mind. I spoke about this earlier, that there's a spiritual battle that often occurs on the Lord's Day. When are you most prone to fall out or to argue? We need to be aware of this dimension as we enter into worship. The devil's going to seek to divert and distract, discourage. Maybe that's been your experience, even on your way to worship. And right now, it seems the evil one is seeking to undermine your faith and distract you from worshiping as you should. God says, now in Christ, there is no condemnation. Maybe you're here tonight drifting spiritually. You love the Lord, but your love for Him is not what it should be. Oh, may this present truth of being right with God, of not being condemned, may it stir you and motivate you to heartfelt worship and service and obedience. And there's an open invitation here, isn't there? To come to the throne of grace. There is a welcome. There's a welcome of grace. There's an acceptance in the Beloved. And friends, don't let Satan tell you any different. He is a liar. Joel Beakey gives a powerful illustration of a boy from a Christian family who went off the rails. He caused his family great heartache and pain. He moved to the city and lived the high life, fell into deep and gross sin, and the Lord had mercy upon him and he came to repentance. But he was not sure if his parents would welcome him back home after all the hurt he'd caused them. So he had an idea. He wrote to his parents saying he was passing back that way, and if they were willing to see him, could his mother hang out a white sheet as the train line went behind the home? And if this white sheet was on the line, he would know that there was an acceptance back at his parents' home. Well, obviously, he prayed about this situation and got on the train with a sense of nervous anxiety. And as the train pulled into his hometown, he looked out the window and he couldn't believe his eyes. What he saw was just a host of white sheets. His mother had gone round the neighbours and asked them to borrow the white sheets, and the entire garden was covered with white sheets. There was still a welcome. There was an acceptance. Friends, there is now no condemnation. Isn't that the most wonderful news? Sinners, Jesus will receive. Tell the word of grace to all who the heavenly pathway leave, all who linger, all who fall. This can bring them back again. Christ receiveth sinful men. Have you sinned? Have you failed? Are you far from the Lord this evening? Please meditate on this word now. It is profound. It is life-changing. It is dynamic. It's real. And if you've not yet followed the Savior through faith and repentance, think upon this word. Please think about it. Tonight, your guilt can be removed. Tonight, your sin can be dealt with. Tonight, you can be received and welcomed, but only if you will repent and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Why would you wait? Why would you put these things off? Why would you dismiss the urgency of this message? And God says it is appointed for man to die once, then after that to face the judgment. But now, tonight, there is an opportunity. Will you respond? Will you trust? Will you believe? Let's go on to my fourth word. It's the word condition. There is therefore now no condemnation. Isn't that glorious news? That's the condition of every Christian. No condemnation. We deserve to be condemned. I deserve to be condemned just as you do. But the gospel's sweet music shouts, no condemnation. And it's the most beautiful music you can ever hear in your life. When I was younger, we used to play on an old field that was overgrown with thorns and thistles, and at the bottom of this field there was a house, with no roof, which was boarded up and had these large words on the boards, condemned. And as children, we told each other that the house was haunted, and we used to make up scare stories about the owner. If he would catch us, he would keep us in his dungeon and not let us out. And interestingly, after a few years, do you know what happened to that condemned house? It was condemned. It was razed to the ground. It was totally destroyed. If you go there today, there's a fairly new housing estate in its place. It's an awful thing to be condemned. It's the condition of every person here tonight who's not believed and trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ. What a solemn word it is. Condemned. Condemned. The gospel comes with a great warning. It brings a message of life, but a message of warning as well. John chapter 3 emphasizes this from verse 17 onwards. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He who believes in him is not condemned. That's our passage tonight. But he who does not believe is condemned already, because he's not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. And I believe every preacher should leave his hearers in no doubt. Let me be clear about your condition outside of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're in that condition tonight, you are heading towards hell and judgment. And these are eternal realities. Hell is a real place, and the judgment of God is real and fair and holy and eternal. So you are to be left in no doubt of your condition outside of Christ tonight. But the Christian's greatest joy are these words: no condemnation because of the Lord Jesus Christ. In a short while, we're going to sing about it. No condemnation now I dread, Jesus, and all in him is mine. Friends, don't put these things off. Don't ignore the urgency of the gospel. Coming back to that ruined, rundown house illustration, we are warned, aren't we, about the devil and his kingdom. He keeps people in bondage and the fear of death. It's as if those outside of Christ are in this dungeon with a cruel master who seeks to harm and destroy. And yet, these words, no condemnation, it's as if the prison doors have been opened through the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Satan and his kingdom has been plundered, and there is life and liberty proclaimed through the gospel. Friends, you must not remain where you are. You must not. You must believe, you must trust in the Savior, and you must do it tonight as God speaks. So we have consequence, we've got certainty, we've got the current news, we've got the condition. And my last word is the word clause. Look again at our verse. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. We must read the entire phrase. We must be careful to note the final statement here. There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Spurgeon's got a very powerful sermon on this verse, and he's entitled it the Serpent's Gospel. which entirely sort of focuses on the first part of the verse. No condemnation, and that's what people want to believe. Well, I will be okay. God's a loving God. After all, he will receive me. I'm a good person. There's no condemnation for me. Spurgeon says that's the serpent's gospel. That's what people want to believe today. If there is a God, he will receive me into his heaven. I will not face judgment. I will not be condemned. Friends, that's the lie of the devil. Listen to our verse. No condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Do you see the condition of the verse? No condemnation. Glorious truth, but it's only true for those who are in Christ Jesus. So the most important thing I can ask you tonight is, are you in Christ? Are you? This is the language of faith and dependence and trust and union with Christ. Think of Noah and his family. Noah and his family were rescued from the flood. Why? Because they were in the ark. A suit of armor protects someone because they are in the armor. A space rocket will protect the astronauts because they are in the rocket. Are you in Christ? Have you believed? Have you trusted in him? Are you currently following him tonight? Friends, there is no escape if you're not in Christ. But if you are in Christ, there is no condemnation. I've got a friend who does a great work amongst the armed service personnel. He's got a gift of speaking to young men directly about the gospel. He works for SASRA. He's very clear and bold and challenging in his testimony. He goes up to some of these young men and he says, look, if the gospel is true, after he explains it to them, then believe it, but if not, reject it. Well, I want to go further. I want to say the gospel is true and is to be believed. And if it is to be believed, Christ is to be embraced. And if Christ is to be embraced by faith, there is no condemnation. But if you reject Christ, if you remain in an unconverted state tonight, then verse 1 is not true of you and you remained condemned. Dreadful, dreadful words. Condemned and lost. May that not be true of anyone tonight. Take care of your eternal soul. Are you in Christ tonight? If that is true, then embrace the truth of this verse. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Well, let's close as we sing 5-4.